Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Today we want to look at the kingdom soldiering principle of ranking. We are generally looking at armies of the kingdom, two main armies of the kingdom. The first one is all believers together. They form the visible army of God. The second is all the angels together. They form the invisible army of God. The mandate is one and the same, to bring God's kingdom here on earth. And we lead in that role as the visible soldiers, because our mandate is for the physical world, whereas angels look mainly at the invisible world. So we look at the kingdom soldiering principle of ranking. There is a code of conduct that every believer as a soldier of Jesus Christ, soldier of the kingdom army, is to walk in. It's a code of conduct we have to regulate our lives by. That is ranking, the principle of ranking. Ranking is the backbone of an army structure, and it defines rules and responsibilities. That is mainly what ranking is all about. It defines the role that people have and the responsibility that people have got in the army of God, the visible kingdom army of God. Now, the word backbone is very instructive, because if you take the body, human body, it is held up by the spinal cord. Without the spinal cord, we will become like vegetables. We cannot really hold our bodies together. Now, ranking is the backbone or the spinal cord of the body of Christ. Jesus's believers together, they form his body, and the principle of ranking is supposed to be like the backbone. So when you are talking about ranking, we are dealing with a very sensitive thing, as sensitive as the spinal cord is. You know, touching the spinal cord is a very sensitive thing, you know. So talking about the subject of ranking in the body of Christ among believers is also as delicate as treating the spinal cord, especially for those of us in this part of the world. Because in this part of the world, people like position, you know, as against performance. It's important for us to know their place as far as God's kingdom army is concerned. When it comes to the life of Christ, when it comes to the work of God, I should say, it is important for all believers, everybody who is born again, to be more conscious of performance than position. In this part of the world, people are very conscious of position as against performance. We see it everywhere. In our body politic is there. In our corporate world, it is there. People like to be given position in the corporate world, and they are not performing what goes with the position, you see. But we take it that once you have been given a position, say a political position or a position socially or in the corporate world, then you are wonderful. Then you have achieved. Then you have arrived. So we have to be careful, especially those of us over here. Actually, we must not put position before performance when it comes to the work of God, because performance is to bring the position. It is when we perform that a position is accorded to us. It is not the opposite when it comes to the work of God, that a position is accorded to you in order for you to perform. It doesn't work like that. So we don't crave for position, but for performance. We should crave for performance so that we can be very effective members of the kingdom army. If we crave for position over performance, we are going to stagnate the army of God. we're going to cause confusion in the army of God. Look at the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse 10. It speaks to this issue of position and performance. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse 10. It says that, chapter 3 rather, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and then verse 10. It says what? But let these, it's talking about deacons, but let these also first be tested. Please note it, first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. All right? So they are first to be tested before they really perform as what? Serve as deacons, being found blameless. Okay? So look at verse 14 also. Let's finish that. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So Paul is saying that this is the way I want you to conduct yourself in the house of God. All right. And the way you should conduct yourself when it comes to the body of Christ or in the house of God, the groupings of believers together, is that we should focus more on performance, you know, focus more on performance and not on position. I say this because the supreme aim of the principle of ranking in God's kingdom is to obtain a smooth forward movement and progress in bringing about the influence and rule of God in a person or a place. So the supreme aim of the principle of ranking is to bring about a smooth movement of the army. As they move forward, they progress in bringing the influence and the rule of God in a person or in a place. That is the aim of ranking. It is for us to be able to move the body forward together so that we can bring about God's kingdom. So it is not really ranking in the body of Christ. It's not really meant to vaunt a soldier. It's not to make one person puffed up against the other. It is not to make one person show the other person where power lies. That is not it. The thing is for us to be able to corporately move to bring about God's rule in our society. We do that in a coordinated way, in an organized way. Okay? So the aim of this principle of ranking, once again, I will emphasize, is to bring about an organized forward movement of a group of believers together en masse in their ultimate singular goal of bringing God's rule in a place or in a person. So that is what I want us to firmly establish. Why the principle of ranking? Why the principle of ranking? It is for us to be able to move together and bring about the rule of God wherever we find ourselves. Now, I want us to look at the book of Joel chapter 2 and then verse 7 to 9. Joel chapter 2 verse 7 to 9. It's talking about the day of the Lord and really describing this kingdom army. Look at verse 7. It says that they run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation and they do not break ranks. Note it, they do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down or they are not halted by losses. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter at the windows like a thief. That's talking about how this army of God, this kingdom army, that is supposed to bring God's kingdom everywhere, you know, how unconventional they are. It says that they enter at the windows. If you want to get to somebody's house, you have to use the door. But if you are entering by the window, it means that you are operating outside the box. Hallelujah. You are not traditional minded. You are not convention minded. You are result minded. Hallelujah. At the end of the day, you should be able to get the result. You should be able to get the performance that God wants from His army. But what has stagnated the body has been this craving for ranks, for position. What are you in the church? I am a this. What am I in the church? I am a that. Is it enough? No, it is not enough. Just to know the ranks. The aim of the ranks is for us to be able to do what? To march forward. So look at how wonderful this army is. The Bible says that they do not break ranks and they do not push one another. In other words, everybody is marching in an organized way. You know, at the end of the day, the whole army moves forward. They don't jostle one another. They don't push one another, but they march in their own column. Everybody has got a column, a column as in C-O-L-U-M-N. Everybody has got a path, and God expects every believer as a soldier in God's royal visible army to follow the path that God has charted for him or her. Now, if you study the life of Jesus, you will see that there was ranking in his life. In other words, Jesus had ranking or a line of people in his following, and he related with them, with each of them, you know. He related with each of them differently, although they were all his followers. So when Jesus was on earth, he had about 10 type I have seen from the Bible so far, 10 type of followers. They were all following him on. He had a crowd following him, but he could differentiate between them. Hallelujah. He had those who believed him, but not as the Christ. He had, first of all, those who believed him, but not as the Christ. And John chapter 7, verse 31, it speaks to this type of followers that our Lord Jesus Christ had. John chapter 7, verse number 31, it says that, "And many of the people believed in him and said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done?" You know, the Bible says that many of the people, not few, but many of the people believed in him and said, when the Christ comes. So my question is that they believing that they believed in him, how, in what capacity did they believe? Because the Bible says that they believed in him and then they said that when the Christ comes, it means that they didn't believe that he was the Christ. They didn't believe that he was the Messiah. But they believed in him. These were a batch of people in his following. The Bible says many of the people believed in him and said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done? So Jesus Christ recognized this type of following, you know. And then number two, he had those who believed him but did not confess him. It's amazing. He had in his followers those who believed him but did not confess him. In the book of John, the same John chapter 12, verse 42 to 43, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. Because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." So look at it. The Bible says that even among the rulers, the political guys, many believed in him. So look at the political elite in Israel. The Bible says that the majority, or if you like, using the Bible word, many among the political class believed in him, but they didn't confess him. They were also part of his following. Number three, he had those who believed him because of his miracles. And John chapter 2 speaks to this type of following that Jesus Christ had. John chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. It says that now, when he was, Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name. When they saw the signs which he did, they believed when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that any should testify of man because he knew what was in man. So Jesus had a group of people also. The Bible says they were also many. They were among his followers. But they believed him only because of the signs that he did. Not his person, but because of the signs that he did. Because of that, Jesus Christ did not commit himself to them. He didn't entrust himself to them. He didn't entrust certain wonderful secrets of the kingdom of God. He didn't entrust the kingdom word to them. They were believers. They were coming to church. But he didn't entrust the kingdom word to them because they didn't believe his person. They believed his miracles. And Jesus Christ didn't want people like that. I'm sure that you also don't want people who believe in you because of maybe what you can do, your works, because you can give them maybe $100,000. So they like you. I'm sure that you want somebody who likes you, believes in you for your person, not for your money, not for your ability, what you can do and stuff like that. All right. So this is a third class of people who believed in Jesus.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Then number four, the 70 disciples that he sent out, Luke chapter 10 verse 1, they were also another class of people. Number 5, he had many helpers who ministered to him, Luke 8, 1 to 3, many helpers who ministered to him. Number 6, he had those who worked miracles in his name, but were not part of the apostles. You know, Jesus had 12 apostles, but the Bible says in the book of Mark chapter 9 verse 38 to 41 that there were people who were working miracles in his name, but they were not part of the apostles. And you remember that the apostle said that, no, let's stop them. Let's stop them because they don't belong to our party or they don't belong to our church, so to speak. And Jesus said that, no, don't stop them. The fact that they don't belong to the 12, they don't belong to our local assembly, doesn't mean that they cannot use my name to cast out devils. Hallelujah. Jesus had followers like that. Number 7, he had the 12 apostles. Number 8, he had the 3 pillars among the apostles, you know, Peter, James, and John. They were the 3 pillars among the apostles. Number 9, he had Apostle Peter. Number 10, he had his natural family. You know, they were part. They were in their own rank. His natural family. They were in their own rank. Apostle Peter was in his own rank. The 3 pillars, Peter, James, and John, they were in their own rank. The 12 apostles, they were in their own ranks. Those who worked miracles in his name, but didn't belong to the 12 apostles, they were in their own rank. So you see that Jesus Christ recognized ranking and he related with each of them separately, differently, like his natural family. You know that his natural family, one was the head of the church in Jerusalem. Yeah, James. You know, if you read Acts chapter 15, James, who was his biological brother, was the head of the church in Jerusalem, where Apostle Peter was, you know. So he had his natural family with him. They were in their own rank, as it were. Now, in the world system also, especially in the Commonwealth, in Commonwealth countries, there are a list of rankings that we can talk about. If you look at the world army, you look at the army, every nation, almost every nation has got an army. And if you look at the ranking in the Commonwealth countries, you have something that looks like this. You have a general who is on top. You have a lieutenant general, a major general, a brigadier, Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel, Major, Captain, Lieutenant, Second Lieutenant. Now the enlisted ranks follow: Chief Warrant Officer, Warrant Officer Class 1, Warrant Officer Class 2, Staff Sergeant, Sergeant, Corporal, Lance Corporal, and Private. Private is the lowest rank, you know. And then the General is the highest in the Commonwealth countries, generally speaking. Now, David, King David also had his soldiers, and there was ranking among them. If you read the book of First Chronicles, you understand some of these rankings, you know. For example, David had himself, he was the head of his army, and the Bible describes that he was worth 10,000 soldiers. That's a very powerful person. He was worth 10,000 soldiers, according to 2 Samuel 18, verse 3. So he was on top. And then we have the army chief, Joab. Next, we had three mighties. Two are mentioned, Joshobim and Eleazar, are mentioned in 1 Chronicles 11, verse 11 and 12. Then we have the three mightiest, Abishai, who was chief of the three mightiest, and then another named person called Benaiah. After that rank, we have got 30 captains. Next, he had valiant men. And last of all, he had thousands of warriors from each tribe. You read somewhere like 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and you see that they mention from this tribe, they mention some group of soldiers who came, and they had one aim. They all came together to make David what? King over Israel. Because he was already a king over Judah. But he was made king over Israel by these people. Hallelujah. And that is what our mandate is also. As the visible army of Jesus' believers. That is, Jesus' believers being a visible army. We are supposed to make Jesus king. Not just of Judah. Because he's already king. But over the whole world. Over a bigger place. A bigger territory. Like Israel. Hallelujah. That is our mandate. Our mandate is to project one person and one person alone. His name is called Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And when we shall all focus on projecting Jesus, you will see that the bickerings and the troubles and the backbitings and the devouring of one another will stop. Because our focus will be on Jesus. When we focus on Him, we will do well. If we don't focus on Him and we are focusing on each other, that is where Galatians 5 says that be careful that if you are biting and devouring one another, you'll be consumed one of the other. Hallelujah. So we have to aim at Jesus. Now, in the, of course, there are rankings among the angelic hosts. The invisible army, there are rankings also, you know. And you must understand that angels are respecters of ranks. If you read Jude chapter 9 and 1 Corinthians 11 verse 10, they are people, you know, who respect ranks. So there are princes and chief princes among angels. Michael is called one of the chief princes. Lucifer's rank before and even after the fall is higher than chief angel Michael, according to Jude 8 to 10. And there are angelic beings known as watchers and holy ones, Daniel 4:17. And their work is to ensure that the living know that God rules in the kingdom of men. The devil also has got rankings in his army. He is very wise. He knows that he has to get rankings so that things will work for him, you know. So some of his rankings are as follows. His kingdom is very organized and hierarchical. He has principalities. These are territorial spirits who fight against the principles of the kingdom of God. That is why they are principalities. They devour principles of the kingdom of God, you know, in people. They rather uphold the principles of Satan's kingdom and also try to prevent revelation. Princes, they try to prevent revelation from dawning upon people. You remember the prince of Persia tried to prevent the revelation of the end time from dawning upon the prophet Daniel. So he fought. Although Daniel was fasting and praying, God heard a prayer. But this prince withheld the angel who was bringing the revelation. So that is what principalities do. They fight principles of the kingdom of God. They fight the code of conduct, such as the ones that we are teaching now. Hallelujah. So he has principalities, and then there are powers. Powers cause divisions and frustrate efforts so that people become low-spirited, and then Satan can rule them. They demoralize people. Powers, that's what they do, according to Zechariah 1:18-21. They cause division in the army of God, because the devil's strategy is to bring division and rule. Hallelujah. He sends out these powers to effect this. Number three, he has rulers of the darkness of this world. These are spirits that tries to control the masses of unbelievers. They don't control believers. They are rulers of the darkness of this world. Those who are not in the light, who are not believers, through keeping them ignorant and blocking all rays of kingdom light from them. They don't want them to see light at all. Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, that the God of this world has blinded their eyes, that the light of the gospel should shine upon them. You know, they rule in darkness. They block all the lights that should come to people, so that there's always total darkness around them, and then they can rule, because they are rulers of the darkness of this world. That's the third ranking in his kingdom. And then we have the fourth, spiritual wickedness. These spirits perpetuate wickedness, and they try to block goodness among men. They try to block goodness. They want wickedness to expand. People become wicked, and then they take the wickedness as something normal. You know, people can kill somebody in a very bad way, and they can kill and kill and kill to a certain point that, oh, beheading people becomes something that, yeah, after beheading, you can go and sleep, you know, because they are used to it. They try to block every good because they are wicked, wicked. And sometimes you come across people and you don't understand how wicked they are. Wicked, wicked. Some of them say, hey, we thought that this man was an elder. We thought that this man was a pastor. You see, what he is doing to the guy is wicked. Hey, just because of something small he did, forgot all the good, forgot all the help. Wicked. Blocking goodness. No good should come. Only evil should befall. Well, there is that ranking in the devil's kingdom also. Demons operate under these four general rankings I've spoken to you about. Now, we want to finish off looking at a typical New Testament kingdom ranking. A typical New Testament kingdom ranking. A typical New Testament kingdom ranking. It may look like this. May look like this. It may look like this. Number one, the fivefold ministry gifts who labor in word. That's the logos and doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and then verse 17. I want us to read that. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and then verse 17. We come across what I regard, in fact, many regard as the highest rank among the visible army of God today. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and then verse 17 says that, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. The Greek word translated word over there is the logos. Those who labor in the logos and the doctrine or teaching. Doctrine is just teaching. Okay. So the Bible says that there are some people you should give double honor to. Double honor to. That means that God gives double honor to these people. God recognizes them. They are way up there. Although we may not recognize those who labor in the logos and in teaching, God recognizes that. He said, those who, the elders who do it well, must be given double honor. Especially those who labor in teaching, in doctrine, in the word. Let me show you why I think they have, why God says that double honor should be given to such people. It is because they equip equip the fivefold ministry. These are also people in the fivefold ministry, but they labor in the word and doctrine. They are equippers of the equippers. They equip the fivefold ministry. Who would then equip? Have you thought about people like Matthew? Have you seen Matthew doing any signs and wonders anywhere? Generally, he is Levi among the apostles of Jesus. But Matthew wrote us a very nice gospel according to Matthew. Consider Luke. He was a physician. He was a doctor. But look at the gospel according to Luke. Look at Acts of the Apostles. It is guiding everybody. It sets the parameters within which believers must function. What if Luke had not written that book? Can you imagine the rewards that Luke will get? Can you imagine the rewards that John will get? The rewards that Mark will get? He wrote us the gospel according to Mark. That gives a revelation of Jesus as a servant. Wow! What about Luke? Gives us a revelation of Jesus. We see his humanity. Matthew, we see his kingship. John, we see Jesus' what? Divinity. He didn't care about who brought forth to Jesus. He just began. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God with us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. He just shot, showing us Jesus the eagle, Jesus the divine. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.